Your Bibles tonight to Galatians chapter 5, verse 25. Galatians chapter 5, verse 25. Talking about walking in the Spirit in chapter 5, especially the last part of it. In verse 25, it says, "If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight as we come into your house once again just to worship you. Lord, show us tonight what you'd have us to learn here in this passage of Scripture. And God, we'll give you the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask. Amen. So many people, so many Christians have found that life has many ups and has many downs, many failures. We fall so short, and that's one reason I believe we find so much strife in our homes today and discord in the churches today. We have people that are discouraged, and I believe it's because, and if I go back and start doing some Wednesday night studies again after Brother Jay, we're going to talk about Christian growth. I believe we do not grow as Christians. We just get saved, and that seems to be it. If you could have anything in the world tonight, what would you want the most? Now, most of us would say, man, anything in the world I want, and we talk about something, fleshly. Either we want a nice home, a nice car, money, whatever. But if you could have anything given to you tonight, I believe that you ought to learn to walk in the Spirit of God and have a unity and a desire to grow spiritually in our lives so that we know what he talks about when he says the fruits of the Spirit in verse 22. We know the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and those things in our life. There's so much out there that discourages our lives. And the Bible talks about three kinds of people. There's the natural man, the carnal man, and then the spiritual man. You ever think about those? Which one are you? The natural, the carnal, or the spiritual? You see, the natural man is one who is just born into this world, and we're a part of a fallen race. The Bible says we are at enmity with God. We're at war. We're separated. We're dead in our sins. That's the natural man. He who does not understand, the Bible says, the things of the Spirit of God. We don't understand. And so many Christians get saved, and then that's it in their life. They never go on to maturity, and that's what it's all about, folks. If we could have anything in our life, Lord, let us grow to be spiritually mature. We need that today. We need to understand the things of God. And unless the Holy Spirit enlightens our mind, then we're incapable of understanding, about the things of God. Unless the Holy Spirit gives you that light in your life, because the Bible says we're dead as the natural man. We're dead in our sin. And for the natural man, the Bible says, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. That's the natural person. He's born into the world. He's dead. He's without hope. He doesn't understand the things of God. And unless God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, opens up their heart, opens up their eyes to the things of God, then we don't understand the Bible. Have you ever thought about that? People read the Bible all the time and say, man, I've read that Bible through and it, I just don't understand it. More than likely, they're in the natural man. The natural man, his vision, his fixed, everything is fixed upon the earth, the things of the world. And he thinks about, oh, you know, I can do things on my own. I'm wise. I've got every angle covered in life. I've figured it out. And when they get old, they realize they've made one mistake. They've left God out of their life. They've left God out. And if you're that natural man tonight, you're lost. The Bible says you have no hope in this beyond this world. No hope. And it's a sad state to be in that shape, to know not the things of God, to know not God, to have any hope in life, to enjoy the things of God. If you're in the natural man state, if you're lost, you better enjoy all of this world that you can while you can, because after death, that's it. You're not going to enjoy it no more. The Bible says it is appointed to man once to die, and then the judgment. You see? And the person must realize that in my natural state, I have sin in my heart. I'm separated from God or alienated away from God. My life is hopeless. I don't have any hope. And the only thing that's for me is the judgment of God. Because all the good that I do is what? As filthy rags in this natural state. No one, the Bible says, can come to the Father except through me, Christ Jesus. So that's the natural man. And in that state, we have to realize that we need Christ in our life because he died for our sins. In him alone are we saved. In him alone is our hope. Now, I expect most people here tonight have trusted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and your hope is not in this world. Your hope is in Christ. We know where we're going when we die. We know what we're going to have. And we received him into our hearts, and he's made us a new creation. We're not that old person anymore. We're not in that natural state anymore. We're born again of the Spirit of God. And as a Christian, we have some characteristics. As a Christian, one is you know Christ is your Savior. Now, don't raise your hand. But if you don't know that Christ is your Savior, you've got a problem. You ought to know that Christ is your Savior. You ought to know him. You know there's nothing in your life that's going to get you anywhere by doing good works. I know good works is not where it's at. As a Christian, you know that you have a home prepared for you because God said so. Man, I know that. I don't know what, you know, somebody said, I've got a mansion in heaven. I don't worry if it's just a shack there. Man, I tell you what, it's going to be the best shack you've ever had because it's going to be in God's house. And you know that you have eternal life. You see, if you're out of that natural, you trust in Christ as your Lord and Savior, you know that you have eternal life. Jesus said in his word, these things have I written that ye may know that you have eternal life. So you know these things as a Christian. But yet, in our churches, we find this, that many Christians still fall so short of what God wants them to have. They still have that old nature there, see? Just because you're born again doesn't mean that old nature is gone. You have a new nature in Christ, but you're a babe in Christ, and that old nature is still there. And that old nature is still at war with God. And the Holy Spirit is in your life. The Holy Spirit, God's presence, God himself is right here in my heart. He said he would come in. I believe he's come in. You know why I know he's there? Because I don't do the things I used to do. And every time I do something that I'm not supposed to do, oh, he speaks to my heart. He speaks to me. And you know, the new nature is at war with the old nature. And the old devil is at war with the Spirit of God. And he says, be filled with the Spirit and walk in the Spirit of God. And that's God's command. Ephesians 5:18. God says, be filled with the Spirit of God. And to do that, it's a continuous filling of his presence every day. You know, I don't see how people come to church just one time a week. I'm too weak for that, aren't you? Man, this old vessel here is weak. This old vessel leaks a lot. And I want it filled every day because it's not a one-time filling. It's a continuously being filled with the Word of God. And how do we do that? We have to continually yield our lives in surrender to Jesus Christ. Every single day, continuing to let Him direct your path. When you get up in the morning, let God direct your path. Start talking to Him, whether it's just, you know, in your mind, thinking about the things of God, singing those little hymns that you learn, praising Him, you know, giving Him control, you know, yielding to Him, letting Him have the reins in your life. Now, many born-again people, they've trusted Christ as Lord and Savior, but they're afraid to yield complete surrender to Him. Now, if you're one of those, you got to yield to God. Yield Him everything. You know, we still like to do things our way, don't we? And we're so afraid if we yield our lives completely to God, oh, He's going to make us do something that we don't want to do. But let me tell you, the natural man only leads you down the sinful paths. He wants you to do those little things. Folks, there's so many Christians today are they've been born again, they're Christians, and they've got their names on church roll, but they're dragging along all the world with them. You know what I mean? They haven't yielded their life completely to God. They say, God, you know, we still like to go. Oh, let me think. There's so many today that still like to drink. Like Brother Perry says, nothing good comes from that. Get rid of it. You say, oh, well, preacher, I don't see nothing wrong with it. Well, it destroys homes. It destroys your life. It destroys your testimony. Now, what else you want me to tell you about? I can name a whole bunch of things that are wrong with it. Then there's all kinds of other little things that we run with the wrong crowds. You know, when I became a Christian, I had to give some things up. And that was some of the people that I'd been friends with that were leading me down the wrong path. They'll lead you down the wrong path. And it's hard to leave people, but you've got to go to them and say, listen, some woman and I was talking about this the other day. You've got to say to them, listen, my lifestyle is no longer like that. I have trusted Christ as my Lord and Savior. And this is what I'm going to do. I'll no longer be doing these things. Now, I want you to come and trust Him as your Lord and Savior. Witness to Him. They'll either come your way or they'll leave you. You see, that's the way the world does. You're going to lose some things, but you're going to gain so much more in your life. So disconnect from those little things and yield to God. You know, those things that are preventing you from receiving the blessings that God wants to give you. being filled with the Spirit of God, being able to walk in the Spirit. And then we must ask God to fill our lives. Where is God, Holy Spirit? I ask little children that, and they say, He's in my heart. Well, He is. If you're a Christian, the Holy Spirit, God, is in your heart. Jesus says, I go away, but I'm going to send another, a comforter. You see, to walk with you, to guide you, to teach you. And that's the Holy Spirit. He's there leading you. Don't call it it. It's a person. God's Spirit is with you. He walks with you. He guides you. And you ought to be saying, God, more than anything else in this world, I want you to fill me completely. I want to be overflowing for you. You see? And by faith, start living that kind of life. Give your life to Him. Read your Bible. I find myself so short in many areas. And you know, I like to do so many things that sometimes I just say, wait a minute. This is getting out of control. You spend more time doing things than you do for God, see? And you have to realize that and draw back. But God promises if we ask Him anything in His name, what is He going to do? He'll give it to us. If you ask anything, and you're going to ask only for the things that He wants you to have, because you're going to be seeking His will for the things in life that He wants to give you. I don't know how to better explain that, but you've got to have the proper frame of mind. You've got to have the proper frame of heart. And in repentance, ask Him to fill you and receive Him into your life. Jesus says, I am the vine, ye are the branch. You see, if you abide in me and I abide in you, you can ask what you will, and I'll give it. We should bring forth the right fruits in our Christian life. And so many people fall so short again bringing forth the right fruit. You know why? Once again, they try to live the life on their own, and you can't do that. You cannot continue to go out into the world and live part-time in the world and expect God to bless you. You see? It just won't work. You've got to walk in the Spirit. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. That's what He's telling. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. It's all about, some people say, it's all about me. And it ain't all about you. It's all about God. It's all about doing for others. We had something in Sunday school this morning. You know, if you're down and out, start doing for somebody else. Start doing for others. Oh, it'll make you feel good. It'll make you feel great. Have you ever tried to get fruit from a fruit tree that is dead? Have you ever seen live fruit growing on a dead fruit tree? No. And if your life is not living the Christian life, you're not going to bear the fruit of the Spirit. You know what? When somebody tells me, preacher, I want to say something about this person. And I think, oh, man, don't do that. If you ain't got something good to say, don't say it. Or somebody will say, preacher, I'm not meddling. Oh, yes, you are. You see? What we ought to do is just pass those things up and say, Lord, let me pray for that person. And you don't have to say, I got something I want you to pray with me about so and so. No, you pray about it yourself. You lift him up. Don't go to somebody else spreading gossip and stuff like that. Just lift him up in prayer. You see? And then you won't have to apologize to him later. Now, we've all done that. We've messed up and we've had to apologize, but that's part of our growth. In our growth, we ought to be growing like God wants us to do. And fruit must come as a natural result of a life of a live tree. And if you're living that Christian life, if you're living in the Spirit, you're walking the Spirit, you're going to bear the Spirit's things like love and joy and peace and long-suffering and kindness. And you know what I've found over the years? That don't just mean to your brothers in Christ. It's those out there into the world, too. You ought to show them the same goodness and the same love and the same long-suffering. Oh, boy, that gets us all, don't it? Instead of wanting revenge or get back at somebody, you know, don't do that. Just love them and go on. I have been cheated so many times. They think preachers are easy mark, I guess. But, I have so many. If I got mad at everybody that owed me money, I don't have that much money. But there's always somebody wanting to borrow $10, and I'll pay you back. Never see it. And you know what? I wouldn't have given it to them if I expected them to pay me back, because, you know, that's not the way to do it. If you give it to somebody, just go ahead and give it to them like you're not going to receive it back, because more than likely, they're not going to pay you back. And if you give it grudgingly and stuff like that, you're going to lose a lot of friends. And you're going to make a lot of enemies. And that's not what God wants you to do. Just love that person and help that person. It doesn't matter. You know, we've been, as a church, if we only did for those that we knew was going to be in church on Sunday morning, we wouldn't be helping anybody. You do for people because that's the way God says do it. Love those who are unlovely. Love those who mistreat you and do things. You know, Jesus said that. Just continue to love people. And first thing you know, you find your life growing like it should be. Don't hold those hard feelings. Learn to give stuff to people and enjoy doing that kind of thing. It makes a blessing out of life if you do that. To produce fruit, we have to be grafted to the right tree, and the right tree is Jesus Christ. He said, "I am the vine and ye are the branches." The life-giving power of the Spirit flows through Jesus Christ. He's the one that gives us the power to produce that right spirit. Now, how do we walk in the Spirit? Well, said all of that to get around to this. We are a vessel, just an old vessel. This is an old clay vessel. And this old clay vessel must be filled with the Spirit of God. Jesus says, "The water I give him shall be in him a well of water springing up to everlasting life." So we are to be a vessel filled with the Spirit of God. And we do that by saying, "Lord," asking him to fill us, confessing our sins, and believing God, trusting God. You know, I find the great people of God in the Bible, they all made such mistakes. Have you ever noticed? Moses made one mistake after the other, didn't he? David was a man after God's heart, and yet he committed murder, he committed adultery, but he confessed his sin before God. He had that want to be right with God. And folks, we're going to make mistakes. But you ought to have that want to not to make those mistakes. That want to be filled with the Spirit of God. Many by sin are just leaky vessels. And if we sin and continue to sin, we're going to find that our source of power is not very strong in our life. If you never come to church, if you never read your Bible, if you never do those kind of things, pray, let me tell you something. You're going to be a weak, weak Christian the rest of your life. You ought to want to come to church. You ought to want to read your Bible. You ought to want to fellowship in a Bible class, studying the Word of God together. That's where you learn. You know, I've learned so much from just listening to great men of God and reading great men of God, their articles and the Bible, what they say about the Bible, what God's Word says. And discord comes in a life, and fighting and arguing and pride and all sorts of things come into a life that has left God out of their life. You know, instead of growing up bearing spiritual fruits, we grow up bearing those weeds. And we need to learn how to be filled with the Spirit of God and stay filled with the Spirit of God and be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. You know what I'm talking about? That little quiet voice in your mind when you pass someone by and God says, speak to them. That's sensitive. Or when you're in a situation and someone comes along and God opens the door for you to witness, and you know it, you're sensitive to His calling. But if you say, wait till some other time, God, and you don't do those things, you just kill that spirit. Your leak in that vessel, that's a leak in that vessel. And we need to see those spots that are leaking in our life, that are weak in our life, and ask God, God, give me direction in that area. Give me the strength in that area to overcome those problems of being critical. You see, it's easy to be critical, isn't it? It's easy to be impatient, anger, covetousness, always wanting what somebody else has, never satisfied with what we have. Oh, that God would enable us tonight to walk in His Spirit this week. Have you asked Him to? Lord, let me walk in Your Spirit this week. Bring forth those things in my life that are fruits of the Spirit. You know, there's not a home here tonight. There's not a family here tonight. There's not a person here tonight that couldn't use more love in their life, couldn't use more patience in their life, couldn't use more goodness in their life. These fruits of the Spirit are peace in their life. We need those things in our home. We need those things in our church. You see? Are there any fruits that are missing in your life tonight? Anything? Just ask God to come into your life and yield yourself to Him tonight. Say, God, I want to yield my life to You. I want to walk in the Spirit of the Lord each day. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, tonight we're so thankful. The Lord, as Christians, we can walk in the Spirit, and we can know Your presence, and we can share that presence with others. Lord, there's some people here tonight, there's a lot of us here tonight, we all need areas in our life to change. There's problems that we haven't solved, And Lord, tonight, I don't know what those problems are, but you do. And Lord, I ask you right now to touch everyone in here at the point of their need, where their mind tells them that problem is. And Lord, let them just say, Lord, tonight, I want to yield that to you. I want to give that to you, that you may show me that love, that goodness, how to change that in my life, that I might have revival in my life. Because, Lord, we need to be revived. For it's in your precious name we ask these things. Amen. If there's something in your